Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
For 25 years, Seth Lightman has seen it all. From the newest electric car revolution, solar power, bike lanes made in NYC, and now we are here. More electric cars, need for more renewables and eco-friendly products in our world. Well, now it's time for an all-out podcast for this time. You're listening to The Green Living Guy Show. He's funny, real, exactly on point, and some think his style is so raw, it's crazy. Let's do this, folks. It's time for The Green Living Guy Show with Seth Lightman.
What's up, everybody? It's Green Living Guy. So usually we talk about here green living stuff, but to keep it green, as some organizations and people say, or keep it real, I gotta talk about fighting for my survival. So we're gonna flip for real on to something more prevalent and more timely nowadays, which is talking about Israel. So I have the blessed opportunity to have three IDF soldiers here who are ready to answer the questions that I'm going to put out there as devil's advocate, per se, as they say, you know, like what, you know, hearing the worst case and then what's the real answer here. I think that needs to be discussed, because it's way too long that we are hearing way too much, as we'll call it, ish or but there's too much, or for those that are in Israel, too much Jifa being talked about when it comes to the state of Israel. So let's keep it real, folks. Thank you all for coming. This is like the biggest, most blessed opportunity I could have in my life. So thank you for allowing me the time to speak with you all. Why don't you start off with your names, where you are, what you do to serve?
Sure. So my name is Shem Tov. I'm 29 years old, and I'm serving in the Special Forces right now in a reserve duty. That's what I did also back in my regular duty. Yep. And I'm also a certified nurse. I used to work for an hospital that had an agreement with the hospital from Gaza. So I had a chance to treat a lot of people from there.
From
Gaza.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. Okay. And also terrorists from the West Bank that just committed like terror attack, and they used to bring them to get appropriate treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm doing.
Wow. So you're treating people directly. Let me just repeat this for my folks here. You are literally treating people that are trying to leave Gaza, but also people that were terrorists and got injured in the line of duty, and then now you're treating them so they can stay alive. Is that basically?
That's basically what I used to do. Right now I'm working for a startup, but back at the days when I worked for the hospital, yeah.
Wow. Okay. What about you other guys? Are they allowed to talk, or are they just here for fun?
if Shantov allows me, so I can talk.
Okay.
So I'm Bote, I'm 29 as well. I actually grew up in the same town with Shantov. He's a childhood friend.
Aerotech, yeah, okay.
In my profession, I'm a civil engineer. And right now, of course, I'm a reserve soldier in the Air Force. Yep. And I was doing my civil engineering degree, and I was one of the managers in a program that took place in the university in around Israel that connects between Arabs and Jews, when the main tool is language. So the Arabs teach the Jewish guys or girls basic Arabic, and the Jews help the Arabs with high level of Hebrew so they can better succeed in the university.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, Which just proves the point, and I'll just do that before we go to the other gentleman, Bonderman. But it just proves that this is not about us versus Arabs here. I remember going to the State of Israel back in the day. I still have photos of, and I said this to Shem Tov beforehand, like. My wife and I back then we were dating, but like we had Bedouins give drive allowing us take their camels into the desert and cooking us fresh pita and then serving us hummus to watch the sunset. I mean, and this guy was so like the nicest guy in the world. Like, and then all the Arabs, whenever we went to Jerusalem, everybody was beautiful. It's like this is not about Arabs, folks. This is about terrorism here. And I really am trying to help people to understand the distinguished difference between that, and people have to realize that Hamas is really a terrorist group that got the rights to power, but it's still a terrorist is a terrorist is a terrorist here. But this is not about Arabs. So what you're doing is helping people to breach the educational language barrier to only succeed better, so that Arabs can succeed better and Jews could succeed with Arabs better. I mean, wow, that's beautiful, man. Okay,
Thank you.
you're up.
Hello,
What are
sir.
you? Thank you for joining. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. Hello, guys. My name is On. I'm 26 years old. Currently in active reserve in the Air Force. And in my civil life, I'm a computer science degree student.
Okay.
Still a regular guy.
A
And
regular
one
dude.
small thing that I didn't mention, that I'm one of the music festival massacre survivors.
Oh, hello. Oh, hello. That let's just pause and thank God that you're here. Thank Hashem that you're alive, and that you got out. I unfortunately did see got to see Telegram videos of what went down. While it was going down, I was back then on that night. I'll never forget. Everybody asks, where were you, kind of thing. So I was on Clubhouse and we were in a Jewish chat room, and all of a sudden somebody just started screaming, "Yo, this has happened!" And we was like, "What?" And then we all got access to the Telegram to the other side, so that we could see the junk happening, and we were just like in tears, in anger, all the feelings that you get. And I can't believe I'm talking to somebody that was there. All I could say is thank Hashem that you're alive. And do you want to? Do you feel comfortable saying anything about it? I don't want to put you in any uncomfortable situation here.
First of all, thank you for the kind words, and my main duty at this time is to tell my story, spread the truth as wide as it can go. So you can ask anything. I will start telling my story. If you have any questions, feel free to ask anything that you
Okay.
want.
I'm sorry. I'm a little choked up from hearing that that you were there. I mean, it's I'm grateful that I'm speaking to IDF soldiers, but then to hear that you were there is like, choked. It
Yeah,
really
that's
choked me
okay.
up. So.
I'm always telling in all the sessions that I take part of that you can try to process the situation that nobody can understand if you weren't there, but stay strong. If I'm here and I'm trying to tell my story, it's important. I want you to take energy from me. I want you to be stronger because, yeah, it's been a massacre. A massacre is a nice word for the real things that happened there.
Yeah,
But
I know. Yeah.
stay strong. It's okay. I'm here and I'm willing to tell my story because the truth is the most important thing right now, because some
Yeah.
channels, as Sky News, actually interviewed one of the Palestinian Authority guy, and he said, yeah, you don't know, the Israeli Air Force killed all the people in the festival, and it wasn't Hamas citizens. And it's really frustrating, and I was very angry, and I left a comment on that video, and Shem Tov also shared it on his wall. And yeah, we are fighting the disinformation and all the fake news that's going on.
So tell me, okay, then. So let's, after I got through it all here, I had to compose myself. So, okay, let's dig in. So that day, could you tell your story? Like what happened? You're vibing out, listening to this great music, which, by the way, from my understanding, was a concert for peace, right? Wasn't it like a...
It was a music festival that was based on the values of love, taking care of the weak. And this is such a big irony.
So tell me. So on October 7th, I remember you guys were vibing out for this peace party, as you said. And then all of a sudden, like, did you see those planes coming in? Like those little...
Those skyriders.
Yeah. You saw that shit? You saw that nonsense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at the main stage with my friends, and as you said, we are vibing, everything is great. And then suddenly, for who that don't know, the music festival was located next to Rehim, which is 3 miles from the border of Israel and the Gaza Strip.
Yep.
So it's really close. And at 6:29 a.m., there was a huge rocket barrage. We are talking about approximately 1,000 rockets within minutes, which is crazy. And when I say huge, you have to take some calculation about my military experience, because me and Rotem and Shem Tov got used to rocket barrages in the last 2 decades. But
yeah, of course,
this
yeah,
is was unusual.
Yeah.
It was unusual barrage, and I knew immediately that something is off. And while running to our car to get away from the area, because the police, of course, shut down immediately the music and the festival and said, you have to evacuate.
Right.
There are alarms to everywhere in Israel, from south to north. And we try to evacuate. And in the meanwhile, I actually saw and told my friend, yo, those are skyriders from the sea that like surfing. What they are doing here? And immediately I saw when they got closer that there are people with some big thing that eventually was an AK. And then I immediately turned on my combat mode.
Yeah.
And from my festival mode, you turn to a combat mode, you try to survive, you try to run. Of course, we are talking about innocent citizens. And people from all across the globe, approximately 3,000 people trying to evacuate from one exit.
One exit they had? Well, yeah, it's a concert.
Yeah, from the parking lot. Yeah, one exit, 3,000 people. We're talking about 2,000 cars. Yeah, that's the first stage of the October 7th massacre.
So you were like... Were you then like one of the first out? You were one of the first out, I would assume?
Yeah, I was one of the first people that tried and succeeded to evacuate from the area. But Hamas was already prepared for the people that got on the road. Because when we got to the exit, you had only two options, to the left and to the right, which is north and south. And we live next to Tel Aviv. So you had to turn to the left.
Yep.
And we turned left. We drove a mile away. And then suddenly a car started to drive towards us on our road. And it was an Israeli car. And then my friend hit the brakes. And then he returned to his original road. And then the Israelis on the car screamed at us, turn around right now. There is Hamas checkpoint right there. They are shooting innocent people with their AKs. Turn around right now. And the And when you hear that and you try to process it, you don't have enough time to react. And when you finish the sentence, automatically we got shots on our car. And luckily for us, the car stopped it. And immediately my friend did a U-turn. We went back to the exit point. And guess what? There was another Hamas checkpoint at the south. So we were locked out of the off-road and on-road. So we had nowhere to run. You have no north, no south. Of course, you have no west because the Gaza Strip is on the west. So you have only one option: through the fields, through the rivers, go east. And that's what we did. From that point, when we dropped the car on the road and decided to leave it there, we ran to the nearest safe place, which is Ofakim. And for the data, Ofakim was 12 miles from our
You ran
death.
12
So
miles. You ran 12 miles.
we had to run approximately 12 miles to get to a safe place because we left the car and it wasn't fit for field terms. And yeah, the 7 hours journey to a safe place started from that point.
Yeah, were you in your car, I guess? I don't know, so I'm just asking. In your car, did you have anything to protect yourself, like after you, or were you just bare? I mean, not barefoot, but like running just with your whatever you had, you just ran.
You have your pants, you have your shirt, and that's it.
I got it. I got it. I got it.
We are not allowed to go in the music festival with weapons. They search your car, they search your body, of
Oh, they
course.
search your car.
Yeah. It
All
was
right.
peace, love, and taking care of others music festival.
Oh yeah,
That's the
it's an
irony.
anti it's the irony of that, that there's an extreme irony with that, with this whole thing. So you ran for 7 hours basically to get to the closest place, which was 12 miles. And once you got there, what happened?
When we got to the safe place, which is Kibbutz Patish, we're talking about hundreds of people that went to Kibbutz Patish with me. And you don't really understand what you've been through for the last 7 hours, and keep that in mind that we are awake the day before, because it's a 2 days festival, and you usually come the night before. So it was the sixth and the seventh festival, and I was awake about 30 hours, and we had no water, no food during our survival story, which it was in meanwhile in the 7 hours. And when we got to the safe place, to Patish, the people at Patish, of course, they were amazing. They gave us clothes, food, electricity, products. They took care of us for 3 hours, and then everyone got evacuated to big train stations. And my parents got me, and I was home at evening.
All right. I see how it worked. Well, thank you for that. We won't get into the particulars of things because I want this podcast to continue on, but I have heard of some of the things that Hamas were doing to women. And I What is it? What I mean, I know we're men here, but what does it feel like when our women are not being listened to at the UN? What does that make you feel like? I'm curious. What does that make you guys feel like? Because I know for me, it's like
There's so many different feelings I have about it, but the one big one is you're there for everybody, but you're not there for us. And it's like, which makes the whole thing a sham, in my opinion. So, but I just want to know what you guys think about that.
First of all, for me, the feeling inside my body is a huge frustration. You feel heat and cold and, many feelings inside your body. You don't know how to handle because you have no one to confront to about it. Like no one who is should be held ashamed for that. And the word in my head for that is huge hypocrisy. Huge hypocrisy, because those women and those people in the last decade or 2 decades, whatever, they're doing everything they can to base their claiming behind this claim of her word. You have to believe her word because it's such a hard situation that if she's stepping up and she's talking about it, you have to at least take in consideration that first of all, you believe her before you say n nothing has happened. And they're working and we're working and still working so hard to base those claimings. So in court, the court would always be, first of all, with the women. And I think it is good. It's a good thing. It should be like that because the percentage, the so high percentage of women that are telling the truth is, the amount of that aren't is, it's nothing. And it's so important. And now, when you see the situation and that they are not even not standing with their side, but saying it didn't happen and saying they're lying, it's a huge hypocrisy. And I think that every woman that said that or even thought that in her head, she should look again in the mirror and think about who is she anymore.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I really do. I'm like, you really need to check yourself. I've been watching
Look at the UN. Look at the UN organization. It used to like be out there for the women and like treat them and help them with whatever. It took them like 2 months to recognize what happened in the 7th of October to the Israeli women. This is like ridiculous.
I
It's
mean, you
supposed to be
want
there
to
for women's period. It doesn't matter if they are Arabs, Jews, whatever. It doesn't really matter. And this is the most hypocrite organization that I met the entire time in the entire interviews and news that I'm listening to. The UN organization, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I can imagine, and on I can imagine your seeing what happened, and then seeing what the UN's doing must just boggle your absolute mind in so many different ways. I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm trying to, I don't even want to bring levity to it, but it's almost like a joke where the person says, "But it wasn't me. But I saw you do this, but it wasn't me. But I saw you do this, but it wasn't me." And they go back and forth, and it's like, it's
Until
this
you give
reality.
up.
It's this false, it's a false reality. It's like, it's this, wow.
It's in every little thing. It's not only about women. It's so hard and crazy that when it's women, but it's about everything that is related to Israel in comparison to others. Everything.
The lies that are being spewed about everything, and the there's a serious, as I've said to a lot of people, air and ground campaign to convince Americans as well as the world that what Free Palestine stands for, and from the river to the sea, is such a great, social justice cause, when they have absolutely no idea what it means in the first place. And I have had to explain to people what river and what sea they're talking about to explain what that means. I'm like, here's the map. There's the river. There's the sea. if there's nothing in between, what do you got? And they go, oh, they don't want an Israel. I'm like, yeah. Now, what do you think about that, social justice causer? It's like it boggles.
It became fashionable to join the rallies and shout from the river to the sea, and they don't know which river and which sea. So it's ridiculous. It's
they
a joke.
They have no clue, zero clue. And it boggles my mind. It boggles the mind. So,
I just want to add one thing, if I may.
Please.
I don't want to get any any kind of graphic. I forgot the word.
Graphic.
But the graphics on the October 7th. But I usually start in the sessions that we had with a quick guided imagery. But I won't do it here. But
yeah.
People's head got cut off. And women and men and elders and children and babies been kidnapped and got assaulted through the whole way. So every aspect of humanity on that day got damaged. And people, sometimes the truth is more than you can take. So I think the world, until it saw the video that got out to a specific amount of people on the governments across the globe.
Yep.
You cannot understand. A stranger wouldn't understand, from my point of view, when you say those things didn't happen. I can't even react to such claiming because it's a joke. You're a joke.
They are a joke.
You're a joke because our woman got raped. And I'm using nice words. Got raped. People's head been cut off, got shot, and we are talking about citizens against terrorists. It's not the military against the terrorists. It's innocent citizens from all around the world that were at the party and in the kibbutzim next to the border.
Yep.
They got slaughtered, and they had no clue and no way to run, but eventually to fight, and they were all killed, all murdered, and kidnapped to the strip, to the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, and then I have to bring this up because I heard this from IDF reports or an IDF spokesperson. So I want to make sure we get this out there too. It's my understanding that an IDF group saw. Because I believe there were some babies that were sold off to another terrorist group, and then they hung them in a clothesline in a row, was what this IDF spokesperson said that they did to some of the babies. Did you see that report about that?
Nope. I personally haven't saw this one.
Okay, I'll share. Well,
there were other crazy, evil,
exactly,
disgusting images and things that happened. And, you know, you don't need any more. If they don't want to believe, they don't want to believe. It doesn't matter how horrible it is. You have
exactly. It doesn't matter what you're going to
horrible stories.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's true. It's like I'm not going to say who, but there's one person in particular that I've been just sharing evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence of things. And they're saying to me, I don't debate well. And that was their only response, because I show evidence and didn't type anything in the conversation. I'm like, look at the evidence. Look at the proof I'm giving you. And your only response is, you didn't use your words. You only shared Instagram posts, which were showing proof of things. One was showing before, of course, the 7th, but the TV shows that you would see in Gaza, where these kids would sit there and they say, I'm ready to be a martyr and all that kind of stuff. You know, how does that feel? I'm ready to die for Allah and all that, all this kind of, and it's, you know, for the, like, they educated the kids and the people of Gaza to live a Hamas life, which is a terrorist life.
Yeah.
Can you guys talk about what I guess the real question for me is, I see it, but do you guys have any, I know you don't have it on your person, but have you seen in your tours of duty any evidence of this kind of education that's going on to Gaza?
100%. 100%.
Can you share an example for the listeners?
Yeah, so I can tell you personally, right now I'm in the West Bank. So you can see little kids literally going to those rallies, you know, those protests, but eventually it's like a violence meeting.
Yeah.
And they are throwing rocks, Molotovs. And I'm speaking about kids in the age from 8, 6 to 13, 14. This is the majority of those rallies.
Yeah.
And they are doing like a lot of violence actions. And you see, it's not that they want to do it. It's not that they're like, let's say it's planted in their head, you know, this ideology of hating Jews. And I remember a video, and I also uploaded it as a post, that an Arabic guy literally said that when he was young, his mom used to tell him before he went to sleep that if he won't go to sleep right now, a Jew will come and kill him. So when you base something like that in the mind of your little kids, eventually they're going to grow up to be Hamas terrorists, Jihad terrorists, ISIS, and whatever, because they learn how to hate the Jews. It's nothing, and I'm always saying it, it's not the land. It's not nothing. It doesn't matter. They have a lot of land. It's just an ideology of hating the Jews. And if I'm going to Gaza, for example, yeah, you see the kids over there, like they are poor. We all agree that it's war or sucks, and casualties are really sucks, and we don't want it.
Yes.
We just want our life back. We want them to have an amazing life so we can live in peace, you know, and do whatever we want. You know, if it's work, be with the family, fly to, like flying abroad and etc. But you see also how much hate they have for the soldiers, you know. But the soldiers there, for example, like 2 days ago, a little kid got caught in the a fight between Hamas and the IDF. And the IDF soldier literally took the kid and treated her, you know, gave her food, took care of her, like, you know, she got appropriate medicine care.
Yeah.
And then they got her back to the family. You're not going to see Hamas does those stuff for the Israeli
kids. No, they use it as a human shield, from my understanding.
Exactly. They use them as human shields. And as well, you know, there is the little ginger kid, the sweetest one, the 9 years old. Now he's 10 or 11 years old. Kfir Bibes. You know that?
9 months.
They are not alive.
Nine months and a half years.
Exactly. And him and his brother, think about that. The Hamas said that they killed them in the prison. And they told them to the father and they told it to the Israeli government. So this is the kind of reaction that we get for our kindness. You know, literally a 9 months old, year old baby.
I think what you're talking about, Shem Tov, I think that they have found the formula in their eyes, because we all know that they doesn't care at all about human life on their side as well, not on ours, of course, not. But they care about our life. They want to take it.
Yeah, but they care about
people's lives.
Yeah, they care about our lives.
They want to take a life, but they also don't care at all. They don't care. Yeah, they don't care at all about their people's lives. And then out of that, they found the formula. And what is the formula? Okay, we don't care about other people's life, our children's life. So let's use them. And then in war, just like in war, there are casualties. There are innocent people casualties. And it's still the minimum because the IDF does the maximum. And then when there are casualties in civilians, in children, in women, then we have media. We can show it to the world. And then we can convince the world we are poor, they are bad, we are good. And it works. It works. They have found the formula, use their people, their lives, to change the mindset of the world. And we all know how much the mindset of America, the United States, is important in this whole situation.
It's called an underdog mindset. That's the problem. The underdog mindsets of what they are showing. This is what exactly getting the attention of the whole world, consider them as poor and we are the bad.
Well, I got to tell you, it's the only way that this is going to, as the as even the Tanakh says, the only way that we're going to fight this, and the way that Jews do it sometimes the best, not just with the IDF, I mean, you guys are the best, but with our words, with the, we will change the world with what we say and how we say it, the truth and what we say, no matter what, we're going to be, you know, a friend of mine who's very into meta stuff, not, and I don't mean the metaverse, but she said that, which was, and she's not Jewish, but she's very much in favor of Israel and supporting us. And she said, you know, the highest frequency in the world is truth. So when you tell it, you're at the highest point of your, you know, of the best. Right now, what's going on is the worst, you know, the low, we're at low frequencies. And the only thing that we can do is tell the truth. Because the more we tell the truth out there, it's like we're the light, you know, we're breaking through and sharing the truth out there, no matter what. And I will not stop. On my Instagram story or wherever, to tell the truth. I tell the truth when it comes to, you know, which has nothing to do with y'all, but, you know, I tell the truth when it comes to green living, renewable energy, and going green. Well, I'm telling the truth when it comes to Israel and my people. We are not killers. We are people of peace. But folks, you played the game of FAFO in Hamas, which is called fuck around, find out. So they did, and they're finding out. And I want to make this clear too, because especially now with that stupid UN resolution, it's not like you guys are going out there and just picking buildings and setting, you know, explosives to them. It's my understanding that you guys are targeting where your the buildings in Gaza. So it's not like you're just flying over and, you know, dropping it. Carpet bombing, like they did in the Vietnam War,
No.
and you know,
No.
so tell me how that goes down, like, because you have to get the grenade, the dynamite or wherever close to the facility. So I mean, you, I would assume, and I'm kind of trying to help for people to understand. I would assume that if there are even people in the building, you're trying to tell them to get out because there's an explosion that's going to go down. So tell me what the operation is like, if you can, for targeting specific buildings and going after them versus just going after everybody.
Yeah,
Okay,
so.
so on, go ahead.
Oh, okay, thank you. First of all, we have lots of targets, which is the government of Hamas. We have targets about factories of weapons and etc. And when the IDF selects any target, which is humans or weapons, first of all, we are doing a nodes drop from the air,
Yep.
and on the nodes they have a barcode and they have a text that says, "Listen up, in 48 hours we're gonna drop a bomb to this building, to this factory, to this area, because we know there is one, two, three, four, five things that we don't want to be existed anymore." So you have to evacuate. And guess what? Hamas telling its people to stay there because they want to stop us from bombing those areas because it's expensive for them. And we are literally shooting our own leg by saying that we are going to get to this place and that place. And the Air Force try to be as accurate as it can, because as Shem Tov and Rotem said, we all have casualties that we don't know. And it's not about the IDF, it's about Hamas using its people as human shields. And let's take Shifa Hospital as an example. We told them, not by air, we are going to get there by foot. Evacuate all your people, all the medicines, crews, and etc. Take them to the south. We are giving you 1 week, and Guess what happened? All the hostages that got on October 7th to the hospital got shifted to the south. We literally shot our own leg by saving our people, but
yep.
we are value life on killing innocent people. And by the time we came, guess what again? The hostages weren't there, and we are doing the actions of getting in to these hostile places very slowly, very accurately, because we care about life.
Yeah. This is not a carpet bombing, listeners. This is being targeted and specific. And there are plenty of homes that, yes, there are places that there are damage, and they will be rebuilt, folks. And there will be a rebuilding, but we have to get rid of Hamas and people that are innocent. It's not like you're going after innocents. If people are innocent, you're helping them. From my understanding, too, and maybe you could tell me this report, that you are helping people evacuate and doing like this tank lineup so that there were tanks blockading Hamas or anybody from shooting at them, because at the people behind them, so that they can get away. Is that true? Yeah, it's true. Okay, so they're nodding. Yes. So
no, the IDF does maximum to protect the civilians, the innocent people. Just one of the examples is what you said. Others is, you know, just like showing them the road and escorting them throughout the whole road as you go. The IDF does the maximum. By the way, about casualties, I think I saw a report of the former UK army commander. Yeah. And he said that Israel has the best ratio in the world for a number of attacking in civilian areas to a number of casualties within innocent people. It had the best ratio worldwide in history.
Yeah. All of that,
when we still remember in our head, the Hamas are doing the maximum to make sure we do hit civilians. Okay. Yeah. It's not only they do it, they fight from civilian areas, they do the maximum. So we would hurt there, it would hit them, and still we have the best ratio. So think about it, put that in mind.
Yeah. They're looking to get the highest, as they call it, kill rate, and you guys are trying to do the best to have the lowest civilian casualties in effect. And one thing that I just want to point out to listeners, which has nothing to do with this war, but it has to do with terrorists, and I want to be very clear about this. I've spoken to former and current military of the U.S. military that went into Iraq and fought in Iraq. And what were the two number two things, the top two things that the United States were fighting against once they got in Iraq and fighting against for terrorists? And it wasn't men and it wasn't women. It was dogs and babies. And I've heard this more than once, that dogs and babies would be strapped with stuff and they would have to they would have to protect themselves against dogs and babies that were strapped with bombs and going up against U.S. soldiers. This is the kind of thing we're dealing with, folks. And you think it's going to be easier for Israel? Oh, I see. And and I'm just going to say this, okay? Like Bill Maher said, he's the only one of the people standing up here. You know, when everyone else gets attacked, it's an act of war. When Israel defends itself, it's called a war crime. And that has to stop, because it's and it's wrong. It's fundamentally anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, and anti everything of humanity that's going on right now. Writing for a letter of peace. Look, every time you guys, you know what I said in a comment recently? Fine. Let's do a ceasefire. And then I'm going to do an over-under box, like I'm Jimmy the Greek, like I'm pretending I'm in doing football games, okay? And I'm going to predict how long it's going to take them to break the ceasefire. So what will it be, 1 minute, 2 minutes, or 15?
Okay, and I got 5, 10, and 20 on each box. So his, at this point, when you guys do a ceasefire, they go back into terror mode again, and they start firing rockets up in the air. Is that, am I wrong about that? Am I just like Jifa here, or am I talking like, or is this real? Like, isn't that what happens?
No, you're not wrong. We're dealing with terrorists. We're dealing with people that have no rules. So how can you play by the rules if you play with people that have no rules? Think about how hard it is to fight against and to play a game when the other side doesn't have rules. So he makes his own rules while he's, you know, doing things. So yeah.
Yeah, it's beyond unbelievable. I know you guys have other things to do, but I do have one fundamental question after this, and then I have a couple of comments. But the fundamental question I have is, and we see it now on news and social media, and also in the reports that on the game of Fafo, that while the majority of Gazans live in the worst conditions, and I've driven through the West Bank and the Gaza, so I know it's not pretty in the 90s, so and I know it never really improved, but is it true that you guys are that the leaders are in Qatar, and that IDF has been told to do what it's got to do to take care of business? I don't know what you can or can't say about that. So
from what I know, I don't know much. From what I know, yes, most or some are in Qatar. I think some in Turkey, and maybe some are still in Gaza. But most of them, yes, are out there with their billions, you know, enjoying a shelter from Qatar, because, you know, and Qatar said out publicly that it says to Israel, don't dare to attack the leadership of Hamas on our land.
Yeah.
So they enjoy a shelter.
That's for sure.
They enjoy, they can spend their money in a place that they can actually spend their money.
Yeah.
And yeah, they enjoy, and they have the good life. Yeah, it is the good life when their people are suffering from what they caused them.
It's so, I hate to use the word, but it's like, I'm going to do it. That's pansy. When you're in another place and they're fighting the fight and you're not with them, like, you know, like a general, like, a, you know, a General MacArthur or somebody, like all BB, he goes right into the middle of the field. And I'm not talking politics, folks. I'm just saying, like, your leaders go into the stuff to make sure they see, they're there to see everything, and they stay in the fight. Nobody's leaving to go party in Trinidad with, you know, with your taxpayer dollars. It's not like here. It's not like BB's out in another country, okay, lavishing while taxpayer dollars are making Israel decrepit. It's not like that. These guys are in Qatar, and they're living the high life, or in other places around the world, and they're calling the shots while the people are living in the worst conditions, and when they need fuel to get out, Hamas steals the fuel too. So it's like they're living under the worst conditions known to humanity, and I only wish and pray that that you guys take care of Hamas, which I have known my whole life. Okay, I've watched this from the days of Fatah. I've seen. I've known of Yasser Arafat that you gave him so many deals, and his philosophy was go enjoy the peace process, but no to everything. And then Hamas, they basically came in and they killed everybody in Fatah, and then came in and took it over. Yeah. I mean, did the funny thing. They kill everybody in the other side of leadership and then say, okay, elections.
Yeah. Who's going to run against
me now? Vote for me now. Well, I have a gun to your
That's
head.
That's democracy.
Yeah, democracy in the Middle East. Yeah, or democracy by the way, in Gaza.
Other than Israel, democracy in the Middle East doesn't exist.
Yeah, by the way. You guys have democracy there, and they have
they have forced terrorist kind of rule, which is now vote.
Yeah.
Vote! You know, exactly. Like, not gonna, as I'm pretending, folks that are listening, pretending that I'm with my fingers doing a gun, vote! With a gun to your head, literally. So, do you guys have anything else that you want to get out? And if you're more, I just want to put this out there that you always have an open invitation. So as this continues and things go on and you want to get out more information, and this is a campaign for the lives, for the ears and hearts and minds of billions of people out there. So you always have an open invitation on my podcast. I just want to put that out there. I really want people in the IDF and everyone to know that you have an open invitation. Hamas or ham. But anyway, so do you have any other words that you want to say?
We just want to thank the people that support Israel and support us. Thank you for the stage, because for us, it shows the support that you're letting us tell our stories and, get the truth out there. It's really important. So thank you for that. Thank you for everyone that support us and the Jewish people. We will need your support to continue, because it's a long fight. We got a lot of fronts, the social media, the physical one. So we need all of you together with us in all of those fronts. And, we're going to win this war. It's just a matter of time. And I want to close it for me with Am Yisrael Chai.
Am Yisrael Chai, every day of the week, 7 days
a
week, and twice on the Sabbath. Twice on the Sabbath. Well, green living, guys, one small step at a time. I always do it, and it's usually about green living, but today we're going to keep it green. One small step at a time. Listen to somebody from an Israeli or a Jewish point of view. They need your hearts, they need your minds, and they want to tell you they're going through a lot of pain right now. This is not easy, folks. Especially the disinformation campaign has been horrendous. But I will say this outright. You guys need to beat Hamas because they are terrorists, but this is not about us versus Arabs.
Nope.
They're like cousins to us, folks. This is not about us versus Arabs. I've been to Israel. I've seen how they treat people. This is not what has been propagated in the media, and I will stand strong, 10 toes down, telling people this is not what we do. This is not Israel. Whatever you hear negative, this is not Israel. There are casualties of war. Yes, it's horrific. It's horrible. Yes, but they're using them as human shields. Folks, we have to listen to people that are dealing with this. What own who's here was there October 7th. Okay. This happened. Don't tell us it didn't happen. And listen to us. We are telling the truth. And the truth sets everything free and is the highest frequency, because it's the best thing in the world, and it will take care of us. It will, and Hashem and will take care of us, because we are doing the right thing, and it's not for anything else but that. So, Green Living Guy out. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Green Living Guy Show with your host, Seth Lightman. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.